Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Well, good morning, everyone. Are you all okay? Good. Thank you, team. Led us really well this morning. Wonderful. Just got my snacks. For today, apologies to anyone that's already started a fast. Great. Oh, it's good to be in church together, isn't it, today? So just to welcome to anyone that's new, welcome to those watching online as well. It's great that you can join us today. Just to give a quick recap of what we've been doing as a church, what we've been focusing on and talking about. We're in a series called Make Room. We started with talking about how can we make room for God in our lives. Our lives can be quite chaotic and busy and cluttered, and we're really unpacking with one another how can we create room for God. And we spoke in the first week about solitude. I started that. Time, solitude is time where we can get alone with God. And then we spoke about Sabbath and stopping and having a day of rest or a moment of rest and having like Sabbath-centric living, living from a place of rest and Sabbath. And then Pastor Tom spoke about slowing down, making room to slow down. And we all chuckled to ourselves because Tom is the fastest paced person that you could ever hope to meet. In his brain, he's doing five things all at once. How's slowing down going for you, Tom? He's getting there. Good. Yeah, but he gave some really good practical advice about how we can just slow things down a little bit and listen to the voice of God. And then we had Pastor Lisa last week, and she was fantastic, I thought. And she just talked about simply following Jesus. And it was brilliant, the shepherd following him. And really, that's been Jan. And we're going to continue with this series, Make Room, into Feb. But it feels like we're going to change gear a little bit. Okay, so in my old house, I had a garden, and in the back of it, there was a dead tree and loads of weeds, and I needed to clear it out. And there was one day in particular that myself, my dad, my uncle brought around a chainsaw with all the gear, and we just like went after this tree. I felt like such a man, you know. It was great. It's not often I get to do things like that. They don't let me have tools, and even then, Andy, my uncle, was really guiding me to make sure I didn't chop my leg off. We got rid of this tree, got rid of the shrubbery, and then I was able to have room to build something at the back of the garden. And it feels like these past Sundays, we've been like, what God has been doing among us is just clearing the dead wood and the weeds and making some space. And I believe now he's gonna build something. I keep coming back to this verse. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And I truly believe that God is about to do something significant in the life of this church and in our lives. And if you and I together can begin to seek him, to hunger after his presence like never before, something significant will happen. And I'm believing God is going to move in a way perhaps that we've never seen before. And we're at a pivotal point, I think, in the history of this church, that if we humble ourselves, seek his face, and pray, God will hear us from heaven, heal our land, and move in a way that none of us have ever seen. And I'm here for it. And I'm ready. Are you ready? Come on, let's pray, and then we'll dive straight in. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness towards us. We thank you that we can gather here as your church today, and those wonderful moments of worship and communion where we're reminded of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today, your church, you'd speak to us as individuals. Challenge us, I pray. Would we leave this place changed by your word? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. So the structure of how we're going to do this series then, so we're going to talk about making room. Today we're going to talk about making room for fasting. Next week, make room for prayer. The week after that, Pastor Simon's going to come, and really I think his title is going to be make room for vision. I say I think, it could go anywhere just yet, but make room for vision, and then we're going to finish with make room for giving. And really it comes from a verse in Matthew that we're going to unpack together today, but make room for fasting. And I'm going to break it down like this. So Chris did say it. If you do have a phone or a notebook, can I encourage you to take it out? Don't go on Instagram, but just to take some notes and jot some things down, because I want to be a bit practical today. And we're going to talk about three things with fasting. We're going to talk about the what. Everyone say the what.
What?
The why.
Why?
And the how. Okay? So the what. Just, I knew someone was going to go how. As if it were a greeting. The what, the why, and the how. Okay, so we'll unpack this together, talk about fasting, and this is going to be really good. Let me just encourage you, don't switch off from this, because you may be new to faith, or you may just be exploring this church, and you think, okay, great, they're talking about fasting, that's clearly not for me. We're going to go a few different places, and I think it's going to be for everyone what we're going to cover today, so please like lean in. But here we go, what, why, and how. Let's start with the what. Fasting, so abstaining from something for a duration of time, I'll define what it isn't before I define what it is, if that's okay. So what it's not, fasting isn't. If you can go to the next slide. Okay, when we're going to talk about fasting, we're not talking about dieting, or we're not talking about impressing God. Okay, so as a church, we're going to set aside this month to engage in fasting. And when we talk about that, it's not a diet and it's not a means of impressing God. So by a diet, here's what I mean. Things like intermittent fasting or time-controlled eating, like that's quite popular in this day and age. I remember I fasted when I was in my previous job, and this is like 13 years ago, and I was fasting for a window of time, and I told my colleagues, oh, I'm not eating today, I'm fasting. It seemed like everyone that week was just bringing in baked goods. And so I'm not eating. And they looked at me like I had lost my mind. They were like, is he on something? What on earth is he talking about? Why are you not eating? And they just couldn't get their head around it. Today, it's probably a little bit more common. In fact, there was an article in BBC recently where it said that our Prime Minister, he starts every week with a 36-hour fast. So it's quite common for health reasons, and there's been loads of research and studies done on it to show how good it is for gut health and resetting and detoxing your body. So there's loads of benefits to it. That's not the kind of fast we're talking about, okay? I think there are health benefits to it, and I think there's some good things that we can talk about. That's not what we're talking about. We're going to talk about a biblical fast. But, stepping into the next one, what this cannot be is a way of impressing God, okay? This isn't some modern-day Christian rain dance where we think, okay, let's do this, and we hope something will happen, all right? That's not what this is. God won't be impressed by your fast. Okay, so it's not a diet and it's not a way of impressing God. But what is it that we're talking about when we say a biblical fast that we're going to engage with this month? I'm going to read our key verse for this part of the series. And it's in Matthew 6, verse 16. And Jesus, in this time, so in Matthew 6, he talks about when you pray, when you give, when you fast. And that's really what we're going to be talking about and emphasizing. You know those parts of the Bible where you wish you could just soften a little bit? Like, it'd be nice if that when was an if. But he says, when you fast, if you fast, it could be more optional, couldn't it? But when you fast, he says this, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. So it's interesting. We can use this as a little bit of a means of showing off if we're not careful. Like, oh, I'm fasting for this length of time and somehow try and impress one another. Like, don't do it for that. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And there's the key right there, what fasting is all about. It's getting with the Father, and it's for the audience of one. It's not to impress one another. It's not to put on a show or a song and a dance to get something to happen, but it's to get closer to God, to focus on him. Jensen Franklin puts it this way, fasting is not a requirement, it's a choice. It's a vow you choose to make to pursue God on a deeper level. The entire time that you are on a fast, you are acknowledging God. And that's what this is. And my way of defining it and what really helps me is putting it this way. Fasting is using physical hunger to create a spiritual hunger. Okay? Fasting is using physical hunger to create a spiritual hunger. Now, I'll say at this point, when we get to the how of the what, the why, and the how of fasting, I'll talk about a few different ways that we might engage with a fast. And I'm very aware as well, if you have any pre-existing medical conditions or any ill health, mental or physical, that is related to food, proceed carefully, seek professional help before you engage with any type of fast, or consider alternative things to fast other than food, okay? But I think there's something that we can all do to create a hunger, be it literally with food or other means, which we'll go into, a hunger that we use to create a spiritual hunger, okay? So that's the what of fasting. That's what we mean when it comes to fasting. Why? Why are we going to do this as a church? Why are we going to encourage one another to fast in this month? There's the what. It's using physical hunger to create a spiritual hunger. But why are we going to do that? And I've got four things that I want to point out, four reasons why we should fast. Okay? Four reasons to fast. You can jot these down. This isn't going to be an exhaustive list. I think there's lots more. These are the four that really resonate with me, and I think they're going to help us today. Four reasons why we should fast, and it's this. It gives us time, focus, discipline, and intercession. So the first why of why we fast is time. Have you ever thought about how much time food takes up? I have. I'm going to put this out there as well. I'm going to be quite, enthusiastic about fasting and quite joyful about it. I really don't enjoy it. What I do enjoy is eating. And if you know me, you know I enjoy eating a lot. So I have good-sized portions all of the time. So I enjoy this thing. But if you ever thought about how much time eating requires, I don't know if you know the stat, but on the average human will spend 5 years of their life in total across the span of their life eating. That's 5 years well spent, isn't it? 5 years. But if you think about it, what we need to getting the food, bringing the food home, preparing the food, eating the food, going back for seconds and thirds. Tom, you spoke about this, with your rushing, you're eating the food from the pan. That's what I do. Oftentimes we make food for we'll do a big pan of it so that we can spread it out throughout the week. But it never makes it there because I'll eat it from the pan and just I may as well finish that now. And Lauren's that's my lunch for the week. I know. But preparing it, eating it, digesting it, cleaning up, it takes a lot of our day, doesn't it? And if you did that 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, is a lot of time that we spend on food. Now, when we're fasting, and a biblical fast, we're pursuing God, we want to get after the presence of God, we want to pray more, fasting gives us a lot of time to do just that. Yeah. It creates these windows in our day. So if you skip a meal or a few meals, or if you go a few days without having any meals, and we'll talk about that within the how section, you'll discover a lot of time. I did a fast recently, for a few reasons, but one, I wanted to prepare for this message with a fast, and I was shocked at how much time I had on my hands, and knowing there was a few things that I was really getting after and praying for and wanting to get into the presence of God, I had lots of time to do that. My family weren't fasting, and that was torture. I would get their meal and just smell it on the way to bring it to them and put it down. But it gives us time. So that's one of the whys of fasting. When it comes to praying and getting into God's presence, fasting gives us time. The second thing fasting gives us is focus. Now, Tom, I wonder if you can come and join me on the stage here. As you do, I'll read this. So Hebrews 12 says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fasting, I believe, gives us focus. There's so many things to think about and work through and that are contending for our attention. But when we fast, and I've experienced this personally, it just gives a focus like nothing else. When you get over the initial headaches of like your body yearning for the sugars and the detox that you go through a little bit, well, you're not actually hungry, it's just your body saying, you're gonna die unless you have chocolate. Don't believe it. When you get over that, because that can be a bit of a foggy head season, it gives this remarkable focus. Now, Tom, I wonder, do you like chunky chocolate chip muffins?
Yeah,
okay, you can just hold that there. Again, sorry to anyone that's fasting. Tom, can you tell me about what you did yesterday?
Yesterday we had a team meeting in the morning, and then I went home and did a bit of gardening, watched a bit of sport.
Excellent.
And had
rugby?
I did watch some rugby and some football, yes.
Oh, okay, what, football, great. Now, can you just take a bite of the muffin?
Big bite. I feel judged.
Good, just one more bite. Go on, really get in there, mate. Have another one.
I really feel judged.
Keep going. Just one more big bite. All right, now Tom, can you just tell me a little bit more about what you did yesterday? One more bite. And what are you planning on doing later today?
Running this off.
Okay. Tom Geach, everyone, you can go and finish the... Thank you. Now, it's a silly demonstration, but I wonder if when it comes to our prayer life and connecting with the presence of God, if what we're doing all the time, either physically or metaphorically, is just eating, it's hard to really focus. If all we're going for is, okay, when's the next time I'm going to gratify my stomach or go for the thing that makes me feel good? Or again, a bit broader, more metaphorically, when's the next thing that I'm going to get after that's going to make me feel good? The promotion, this, that, the other. And just, if we live, it's quite easy to do that. Live just to gratify the hungers. It's hard then to communicate and to focus. But what fasting does, it removes that and gives us this razor focus just to say, God, Jesus, I'm going to fix my eyes on you. In this time, I'm not going to eat, or I'm not going to go for that. I'm not going to gratify my desires, but God, I want to focus my attention on you. I'm hungering after you. I'm hungry for your presence. It gives us time to do that, and it gives us focus. We can focus on God like nothing else. And I find, again, I'm just able, when I'm fasting, and again, once I've got over that initial detox period, when I'm fasting, I can just focus on his word in a different way. And it's my mind isn't quite as clouded. I'm not contending for as many things. It just brings this focus. The next thing that it gives us, next why of why we fast. So it gives focus, it gives time. The next is discipline. And here's a fun one. So the Apostle Paul writes this in to the church in Philippi. In Philippians 3, 19 to 21, he says this, of people that have rejected Christ, that want nothing to do with Jesus, he says this of them, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So their God is their stomach, is he saying. They're living to gratify the self, their earthly, their carnal desires. Their mind is set on things from this planet. Not so with us, not so that love Jesus, not so that are living for him. Our citizenship is in heaven. He says in another place, in 1 Corinthians 9, he says of himself, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. So what's he saying? Like, my God is not my belly. My God is not my desires. And it's very easy to read that, very difficult to do, especially when we're hungry. And it's amazing, I think, how much of our lives are dictated to us by what our body wants, what we need, when we need to sleep, when we need to eat, what we want to do. And what the Apostle Paul says is that their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach. That's not our God. Jesus is our God. And what fasting does, it gives us a moment to discipline ourselves. And it's this stake in the ground to say, my God is not my belly. It's yelling at me right now. It's shouting very loudly. I can hear it, feel it. Everyone else can hear it. but my belly is not my God. And I will deny myself for a time to discipline my body, discipline myself, to align my actions with my confession that Jesus is Lord. And my life will be for his glory. And my attention and my focus will be on him, not on what I just want to do all the time. That's a brilliant thing to attain in our lives. That discipline, that strength, only comes by doing that. It's uncomfortable, it's painful, but what we gain through it is remarkable. When we discipline ourselves to say, Jesus, your will be done. Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life? And I'm going to discipline my body. I'm not just going to fight like a boxer, beat in the air. There is a purpose to my life. Yeah. So the atheist would say that there is nothing about us more than just the atoms that hold us together. And those atoms are already determined by all the other atoms that we're just reacting to. So there's no real such thing as free will, which we can have any autonomy to do what we want with our lives. You are just a sack of meat responding to an indifferent universe. That's not the Christian worldview. Thank God. We believe, I believe, each and every one of you is made in the image of God. And in the same way that God spoke life into being, he gives us and grants us the ability to speak things into motion, to create our futures, to dream, to act, to move. We are animated by his spirit. We're not just sacks of meat responding to our desires and our needs. Our gods aren't our belly. Thank God. Jesus is Lord. And fasting reminds us of that truth, that we can align ourselves and we can live for something more than just gratifying the desires of my flesh. The world and our society that we live in would say, live to please you. What makes you feel good, do that. And that is the true fulfillment of what it is to be a human. And that's far from what we read in scripture and far beneath what we are called to as sons and daughters of God. We're made in his image to build his kingdom, to live on purpose, with a purpose, and fasting pulls us right into that truth. So fasting, it creates time where we can pray, where we can focus on God. Fasting, it gives us a focus like nothing else. Fasting gives us a discipline in our body to live as God wants us to live, to not just follow the desires of the flesh. And lastly, fasting, it brings intercession. And this one I think is significant for us as a church. Intercession would be a form of prayer where we are praying on behalf of someone else or believing for something to happen in the life of another or interceding for our city, our land, our nation. And fasting just helps us do that like nothing else, I believe. On your phone, you may know if you have a notification, if you get a message, what you get is that tiny little red dot, don't you, on the corner of the app. If you know what I'm talking about, and it's like a scratch in your brain until you click on that red dot and see what the message was or see what the notification is. It's a genius move by Apple, who I think I invented that. This little notification, this little, you need to check this, you need to do this, and until you do, this red dot will remain. What I find fasting is this constant, more than just a little red dot, it's a constant reminder and notification for us to pray. To seek God, to hunger after God, to get into his presence, to yearn for him. Why? Because we're hungry. And every time our stomach groans when we're fasting food, or fasting something that creates that hunger in us, it is a reminder to pray. We're reminded why we're doing this. So recently when I fasted, and like 5 minutes into the fast, I felt that hunger come. My prayer would be, God, I'm hungry for you. God, I'm hungry for you. Lord, I'm hungry for your presence. I'm desperate for more of you. I'm desperate to see you move in this city. Lord, I bring these friends to you. God, break into their life. Would they be saved? God, forgive me when I've become apathetic or indifferent or I've just forgotten to communicate with you. But 5 minutes ago, I was hungry, and 5 minutes since, I'm still hungry. God, I hunger for you. I was woken up at 1 a.m. hungry. My stomach was in pain, and all I wanted to do was go eat Shreddies. That's what I get cravings for. Shreddies cereal. But at that time, God, in the early hours of the morning, I'm hungry for you. God, I want more of your presence. I want you to move in this city. God, grow your church, build your kingdom. And we begin to intercede like nothing, because that dot doesn't go away when we're on that fast. It's there with us. And I think the Lord is calling us as his church to become hungry for his presence again. To repent of when we've just been indifferent toward it, where this has become maybe a bit of a club for us, where we come, it feels great, we leave feeling built up to get on with the rest of our week. What would it look like, church, to get hungry for the presence of God like never before? To get on our knees and cry out for God to move in our city? To like a deer longing for water, like panting after the presence of God, like, God, move. Do something that only you can do. Break into our city, break out in our church. Holy Spirit, would there be an outpouring like we've never seen before? And hunger takes us to places that we can't go to when our tummies are full. I think it takes us to an edge of desperation and need, where we long for God in a unique way. And that's what fasting does. So as we fast this month, church, let me encourage each and every one of us, and myself included, just to get desperate for the presence of God, just to long to see him, just to be desperate to be near him, desperate to bring a request to him, to see him move in a way that we've not seen before. And the story of the prodigal son is an interesting one for me. When the son turns around and decides to go back to his father, do you know what it was that really provoked him to do that? It was hunger. He was hungry. And he says, doesn't he? Like, even my father's servants, they eat well. And I'm here starving. And I believe this, that it's hunger that will see prodigals returned. It's a sense of desperation that will see people that should be here in God's presence come back again. And they may not be hungry for themselves. We need to get hungry for them. Desperate to see them back in the presence of God, living on purpose, with a purpose again, stopping living for their own desires and going after the worldly things that they can live for, but back on a purpose with God. It's hunger that will see a transformation there. What could hunger see happen in this church, in this city? Fasting brings intercession. And so the what is, it's using physical hunger to create a spiritual hunger in our lives. The why, it gives us time, it gives us focus, discipline, and intercession. And how we're going to do this then, right, this will be practical in a second now. So how we're going to do this is every Friday, we're going to call it Fasting Fridays in Feb. Fantastic Fridays in Feb. Fasting. Fascinating, fantastic Fridays in Feb. Anyone else? Which will be fun. Don't know how fun they'll be. Fun, fasting, fantastic Fridays in Feb. Every Friday as a church, this will be the day where we're going to get together and fast. So whatever you decide to do, if you want to do a longer fast, you can do this. Or if you want to pick a day of the week, know that on a Friday, lots of other people are going to be doing this and joining in with you. So if you have those like groans in your stomach, if you get hungry, know that you're not alone in that. And we're going to start fantastic fasting Fridays in Feb. At 7 a.m., we're going to do a Zoom call and just pray together, only for half an hour. The link, you can find that, scan the QR code, weareone.church/links, it's on there as well. And we're going to get together and pray. And there's only going to be three of them, there's three more Fridays left in Feb, I believe. That's how we're going to do it together, fasting Fridays in Feb. But other ways that you can do it, we've got a journal, a fasting journal that we want to gift to you. So as you leave, you can pick up your journal. And it's just a way of documenting and being intentional with, okay, what is it that I want to do? And there's, in the front of that journal, there's some advice on different ways that you can fast. So I've been speaking primarily about fasting food. So that's what we would call like a full fast. And choose your time. And again, if you've got any medical conditions or reasons why this might be unhealthy for you, really get good counsel on that. If you go away and say, I'm going to stop eating because my church has told me to, you've completely missed everything that we've been speaking about. That's not what we're getting after. But all of us need wisdom in this. And it could be that you go, okay, I'm going to fast breakfast and then eat lunch and dinner, or I'm going to fast all three meals for a certain number of days. Let me just encourage you with the how. Start small. Don't do a 21-day fast if you've never fasted before in your life. Start small. Be realistic. What you don't want to do is shoot up here and then really, really like fail spectacularly and never engage with it. The point is to engage with it. We're not being legalistic about this. Like I said at the beginning, this isn't some rain dance where God's like just tracking you going, okay, and you failed, so your prayer's not getting answered. Sorry, One Church. Like, this is for all of us to step into the presence of God and to grow in our faith. So start where you are at. We've had a number of groups that are meeting across the city. They've all started to meet recently, and it's great. Talk to your small group or your grow group, the course that you're on, saying, hey, this is what I'm thinking for fasting. Get some accountability and advice on it. And knowing that you're doing it with others really helps. So start small there. Start with where you're at. Other ways of fasting, you can do a partial fast, like I said, so certain parts of the day. Alternative fasts, such as the Daniel fast, that's quite a popular one where you abstain from eating certain types of food. I'd rather eat nothing than just eat vegetables, personally. So each to their own. Daniel fast isn't for me. I ended my... When I start a fast, I can't help but fantasize how I'm going to finish it straight away. And that's a big challenge. That's a wrestle, isn't it? I ended mine with a Mexican meal, which was absolutely amazing. Daniel fast. Other ways of fasting, like a media fast, you can choose to abstain from social media. I think the challenge, the test for me would be, is this creating time for me to get into the presence of God? Is it helping me focus? Is it creating discipline? If you don't notice you're abstaining from something, you've probably got the wrong thing to fast. So we should notice it. We should feel it. It should help us bring that focus. Is that all right? And those are some ways that we can do that. I'm going to finish by reading what I read at the beginning, 2 Chronicles, as a declaration and what we're believing together, what God is going to do among us. But before I do, I want to just offer an opportunity for everyone in the room to give their life to Jesus. So maybe you're here watching online and you found yourself in church today and you know right now you're not right with God. You perhaps could have walked with God a long time ago, but I spoke about the story of the prodigal son, someone that was just living for themselves and then did a 180 turn back to the Father. Maybe you feel like you're away from God, living to please your own desires or going after some different things. Today could be the day where you come back to God. You say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. I want to know you. I want to focus on you and live my life for that purpose. So let's just have a moment of prayer. If you can just bow your head, close your eyes. I want to extend that invitation to everyone in the room and those watching online. And very simply, if you want to say yes to Jesus today, you want to come back to him, put your life right with the Father, you can do just that. There's nothing that we can do to earn this or deserve it. In fact, our lives often do the opposite, but it's by his grace, it's through his grace that we're saved. It says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. And you can find that life today. So if that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus, very simply after the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up and I'll pray for you. One, two, three. That's wonderful. You can pop your hand down. Anyone else? Online, you can respond like this. That's fantastic. Jesus, we thank you for your grace. We thank you as we've celebrated or reminded ourselves in communion what you did for us on the cross. When you died, took our place, but then rose again in life, conquering sin and death, also that we might know you. And Lord, for those that have responded today, I thank you for them. And I pray, Lord, that right now they would know your presence, they'd know your peace, they'd know your forgiveness. Thank you that salvation is theirs in Jesus' name in this moment. We give you all the glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you said yes to Jesus, then pop your hand up. We do have a gift we want to give you just to help you take that next step in faith and figure out what does that mean? What does it mean to come back to God or give my life to Jesus today? We'd love to give you that at the end of the service. Come see us in the next steps area. I want to finish with reading 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. And I want us to sing this song with that in mind and really, really present ourselves to God. Say, God, here I am. I'm desperate for your presence. I'm desperate for you to move. I'm desperate for you to break in, break out, work a miracle, do something significant in our time. In Jesus' name, come on, let's stand. And the band are going to lead us. Come on, let's pray, church. Lord, we say amen to your word. God, we're believing that you are wanting to move among your people to do something significant in this church and in this city. So Lord, we repent of our ways. We turn our face towards you. And God, would you do what only you can do? Would you work miracles among us? Would you break strongholds? Would we see prodigals return? Would we see healing? Would we see salvation and breakthrough? In this church and in our city, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Well, there we have it. We're on this journey together. Launching today, fasting Feb. Go well. Enjoy getting into the presence of God. Let's do it together. Don't do it alone. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you all soon.